Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Patty G Show. I'm your host, Patty G. We are here with Mr. and Mrs. True Blue Water, the very own in the flesh, people that bring you your hydration needs. We're going to be talking about water, the processing, local, and also some unique, interesting business ideas for co-branding with different companies. But before we get into that, we're going to give a big, wonderful shout out to the amazing sponsors that make this show possible each and every week. Government Taco, Falaya Real Estate, Mallard Bay Outdoors, Horizon Financial Group, Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Without further ado, Mr. and Mrs. True Blue. That's what I'm going to refer y'all to from now on.
Okay. Actually rhymes. I like it.
Look, Mr. and Mrs. True Blue. Yeah, I
like it. It's pretty good.
How are y'all doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great. It's my beautiful wife and boss, Amy. Introduce yourself, boss.
You just said Amy.
Oh, okay. But I'm Jason Cheek. I'm the manager of True Blue Water. And I'm so lucky. She's a little shy, so I'm so excited to have her here today to talk.
I know. I think we had to like drag her in, kicking and screaming, like, come on, you can do it. Yes. It's just a chair. We're just relaxing, enjoying some sweet tea from Cane's. Not a big deal at all.
I got the lemonade, and it's delicious.
Yeah, it's always good. So what is True Blue, y'all?
So we're a locally owned and operated water delivery business. We deliver to homes and businesses, chemical plants, contractors across the greater Baton Rouge and New Orleans markets. We deliver everything from 5 gallons, cases of high quality, True Blue Water, which is a really thick bottle.
It is a very thick bottle.
We also do private label marketing. So we do products like this. We have roofing companies like Coleman Roofing. Do a bunch of private label work. We could do Raising Cane's if anyone gives me a shout out. I was thinking about that one. Hey. And we also do more affordable water by the pallet, like in bulk sales. So we supply several supply companies as well as contractors with massive amounts of water per week. We can deliver anything from one pallet to 10 pallets or 19 pallets pretty much within a day, no problem. We keep about 400 pallets in stock. And we also have the state contract for emergency bottled water. So if there's any state agencies that need water during hurricanes, we take care of them.
That's a pretty good contract to land.
It's pretty cool. It's kind of, sometimes it gets a little hard.
Yeah. Cause you got your current,
you have your current customers that you really want to take care of and you have to take care of. Number one is our people that buy from us on a regular basis. Obviously when the National Guard calls, you make them happy and you bring them their water.
You get them whatever water they want.
Yeah, well, I mean, them guys are working hard out there, so I would never, ever deny them. So they call and say jump, and we say, yes, sir, how high?
I love it. So how did we get here? How did we get to True Blue? I know y'all both have different backgrounds, but now y'all have kind of merged together to form one. So how did we get here?
So my background is in accounting, and Jason had worked in the water business for 12 years, so we kind of came together and decided, you know, he can labor and I can work the books and we'll come together and create this company with good customer service and a good quality product.
Yeah, well, I would always complain to her when I would come home about the different processes we did and the lack of communication from customer to route delivery guy. And it was just a bunch of processes that the customer had to go through just to talk to one dude that drives a truck in her neighborhood. So I said, what if we went more local? And so she loved that idea. And that's what we've been doing. We've been staying local. Every single bottle of water has my phone number on it. So if you pick up a bottle of True Blue Water, you call. It's just like calling, what is it, 888?
Yeah, 888-8888.
Except I answer, not Gordon.
How did y'all think to just start your own water company? I mean, that's a big leap of faith going from accounting. We're very conservative when it comes to money decisions, you know, as CPAs, as accountants, like we don't want to thin the books out too much. So like how in the world did that leap even enter the thoughts of what the next steps were?
So tell them about Jason.
Well, first off, Jason, with his prior sales experience in water, he was the number one sales guy, I think, in the country.
4 years in a row.
So if anybody, when we first started, people would ask me, are you nervous about starting this? I said, no, he'll do what he has to do to make it work. So I definitely had my trust in him to get it done and, you know, had to rein him in a couple times. But we...
So we actually, when we were doing our business plan, and we literally didn't know who would bottle for us. That was, but we didn't even care. We just literally put it on paper. We're like, we're going to do it. So then we had to find someone to bottle for us, like literally after we put our business plan together. Because people were like, how much is it going to cost per bottle? So we called a guy, and he on the phone told Amy and I, y'all are absolutely crazy. This is a bad idea.
Not going to work.
The bottler?
Yes.
Yeah, the bottler.
So he was telling a potential customer,
yeah,
don't you even think about going into this business.
He was like, I'll do it if you want, maybe. But he was like, it's a horrible idea. You will go bankrupt and you will not make it. He's like, it's not possible. So he was telling this to me. And Amy's not one. She's awesome, but I'm the talker. I'm the outgoing crazy person. And so she's reserved. So she came over the phone. She's like, obviously you don't know my husband. He will make it happen. She had my back big time, which was really appreciative. She was like, he ran the Boston Marathon. He's accomplished everything he's wanted to in his, you know, in whatever I've done. But it's all because of her. She makes me. So she told the guy.
Gentle nudge.
Yeah, and she told him, and he was like, okay, I guess. And it was rough. He was a little bit right.
Oh yeah.
But one thing about us is we will never quit.
We don't give up.
I literally will work like all night and sleep on my couch at work and then wake up and do it again if I have to.
You gotta do what you gotta do to make it work. I mean, that's what every entrepreneur is undertaking as they begin a new business endeavor is, look, we're gonna make the sacrifices that it takes to get a business going.
Right. That's what we've had to do, unfortunately. There's many nights when Jason has not been home, but, you know, it's part of owning a business.
Yeah. So you did a whole business plan? Like, did you take it to a bank? I mean, how was this?
It was very professional.
What happened here?
She is a pro, so she had to put together a business plan, and we met with some bankers, and they took us to lunch, fancy lunches. I wasn't used to this stuff. And had cocktails and stuff, and they were basically wanting our business, which I thought was super cool. And then we messed up. Well, I don't know how it went, but we went and we did the Boston Marathon. And while we were there, we were at the bar talking to different people. And everyone we told our idea to, this was before we started, they were like, man, I would love to invest. Give us a call. But we had already had everything in motion and in line. But apparently there's a lot of wealthy people in Boston everywhere.
Ready to invest.
And water company, nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, they were excited. We were shocked to hear how many people were excited about such a simple plan, it seemed like to us. But
they liked the idea of one fish in the pond and attacking and being able to have a large market share because there's only one player. And it's kind of sort of the case now. There's two of us in Baton Rouge, so a lot of market.
Two water companies in Baton Rouge?
Two decent-sized ones.
Right.
Us and the other guys. And in New Orleans. New Orleans is just one. We do a little bit in New Orleans. Like we go to Tulane, UNO, Boomtown Casino. We have a few physical therapy places, but we are in New Orleans, and we're looking to grow rapidly very soon. We've just been with COVID and everything, finally being over, we're going to start growing a lot more with our geocoding and geofencing.
Geocoding and geofencing, like with your advertising and such?
Correct. We just run very simple ads, but our IT guy is phenomenal. We just basically tell him this radius, this much money a month. I just get my Google leads all day.
There you go.
No advertising, just Google.
So how did y'all decide on where you were going to get the water bottled whenever you went through that process?
Where? So when we started, we met with the guy who said we were dumb to even start this process. So he originally started bottling for us in Kentwood, Louisiana, and then he sold out, and we ended up with a company in Jasper, Texas, is where we get our spring water from now.
Okay.
Yeah, once he got bought out, we had to kind of scramble.
Find somebody else.
But we were able to find a really good company, Buck Springs in Jasper, Texas, and they bottled for us. They don't really have a motto, but I told them they should go with Buck Springs. The buck stops here.
That's a pretty good one.
I thought it was pretty good.
So going from nothing to where y'all are at now, I know we kind of discussed it a little bit before of that trust factor with a delivery style service. So a subscription-based model essentially is what you're after for the customers. You're going to subscribe to us. We're going to deliver X number whenever you want and on a set schedule. What was that like going from 0 to 1 customers? I mean, I know you had the sales experience, but getting that first customer to believe you're a legitimate company that's going to supply water. Why should they switch?
Yeah, it was actually phenomenal. One of our business partners when we first started, he knew Mr. Martin Padial with Workbox over there in Port Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And he called Mr. Martin. He said, "Hey, we're bringing you some water." And I was kind of shocked that he did that, but he did it. And we brought him everything, kicked the other guys out. And that was literally on my birthday 5 years ago yesterday.
Yep. We share a birthday.
Happy birthday
to you.
And I mean, after that, we just started rolling. We were getting, I guess, a customer a day, then 2 a day. And I think it was about a year. But after a year, we were able to hire our first employee. Did I jump too far?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So, yeah. So about a year, we hired our first employee. But the company itself wasn't making a profit, honestly. And we were kind of struggling. So I tell people all the time I started driving Uber at night because we weren't making enough to pay me what I used to make. So I started driving Uber at night, and I did that a few months until everyone caught on with the Uber train. But then about a year and a half, we were okay.
Yeah, we struggled with branding for sure. One of the good things about our company is we have a truck on the road. We've had the truck on the road from the get-go, and that's our billboard. You know, it's a traveling billboard. So that kind of helped. A few people say, "Oh, I saw your truck on the road."
So about 2 years in, we decided let's get another truck. Not only for the we needed it factor, but for the billboard status, advertising. All day, I tell my guys, I'm like, "Look, I'll give you a card. You go buy lunch, go park on Blue Bonnet somewhere, and stay there 30 minutes an hour, eat you a lunch. You're on salary."
Yeah,
and have a good time, and people will see it. And sure enough, it worked. Just everyone would text me. They text her, "Hey, I saw your truck on the road." So I guess about year 3, we bought a third truck, and we're on year 5, and I'm looking for another one now because we just hired another guy. So it's nice to have the big trucks on the road as advertising.
Yeah.
Plus, we need them because we're selling a lot of water right now.
I mean, especially right now with how hot it is.
Oh, yeah, definitely right now. This is definitely our busy time of the year.
And a lot of the plants switched from the orange igloo style bottles, and now they're drinking strictly bottled water. So it's made our demand crazy high.
I guess they did the switch for the contamination of the cooler from COVID and all that. So now it's individual bottles.
Yeah, it's still being safe. Eventually, it might go back. But right now, they're just being safe with the bottled water. So I wasn't really anticipating those sales. So we've been trying to catch up for the last few weeks, months.
So going from those first few customers to now having like 400 cases of water in a warehouse, I mean, where is this stuff stored? Where do you store water?
So we have a 6,000 square foot warehouse on the corner of Choctaw and Dallas, right there, not far.
Yeah, it's close to here.
Yeah, about a mile. And we love it because we're so close to the city center, we're close to Livingston, close to Prairieville, all of Baton Rouge. Hop, skip, and a jump from New Orleans. So we have racking systems, and we also just double stack the water. And we have about 400 pallets of regular bottled water, the more affordable stuff. And then we keep a bunch of our private label for some of our customers, and we just stack it to the ceiling, literally.
So you say that the regular bottle of water, is this the regular bottle or is this a different?
Well, that's our premium brand.
Okay, so what's the difference?
So that bottle right there is very thick. It's a 19-gram weight bottle. So it gets super cold, stays super cold. Mm-hmm. The bottle, the top of the cap, you can actually screw it back on, which people really like because most of the bottles nowadays, like Dasani and all those, you can't really screw the top on. So we really love that about it. And it's just a good-looking bottle. And it's bottled in Jasper, the natural spring water. It's extremely good. Everyone who tastes our water, they literally call us and they're like, "Man, I can't believe your water's so good." I'm not joking. It's kind of weird to say that because it sounds like I'm bragging, but it's real. Like, people will literally call us and be so excited. Like, try not to sound excited. I'm like, okay.
It's just water.
You have a lot of people who will say water is just water, and then you get those kind of phone calls and you're like,
it makes you feel good.
Okay, yeah, because I mean, now that we're water experts, we like the good stuff.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. True Blue.
It's really hard to drink other bottles of water just because you taste everything in it, all the particles or the cheap plastic, or it sat in the sun in a big giant warehouse. So all of our water is bottled at the source, stored there in a climate-controlled warehouse. Then it comes to our climate-controlled warehouse. So there's no sitting in big trucks for a day and a half, or never sits outside. So that's kind of cool.
So it stays cold from the time it's bottled to the time it's consumed.
As cool as you, Patty G.
I wouldn't go that far. Okay, so going from that first one to then, when did you decide you needed a warehouse? I mean, how does that decision come about?
We started with the warehouse before.
Y'all started with a warehouse.
Oh, we're all in. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We're not. We had actually purchased the warehouse and we purchased a truck before I even put in my 2-week notice at my last job. Because I mean, we were all in. We wanted to do it, and that's what we were going to do. And if we failed, we failed. And I was watching a lot of this. Steve Harvey does this presentation after all of his shows, and he tells everyone about jumping. And sometimes in life, you just have to jump, because the furthest you're going to fall is right there. And if you fall any further, you're not alive anymore. So sometimes you just got to take the jump. That's the lowest you can go right there. It's not that bad.
It's not bad at all.
You always get back up, dust your shoes off, and keep going, baby.
In the worst case, you just go back to work for whomever you were working beforehand.
Yeah, you go back begging.
You know, right. Sever that tie with the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you find another job.
Yeah.
No biggie.
Yeah. I'm good.
You're out there.
I can sell.
So
I can dance. I'll go dance in New Orleans or something.
That would work. Put on a True Blue big old outfit and just dance.
Spray paint, glitter, you could do it. Hold a water bottle.
So is there any entrepreneurship within y'all's families? Are any entrepreneurs? Or are y'all the first?
Guess we're the first.
Yeah, we never thought about that.
Yeah. Guess we're first. Her mom and dad were married her whole life. He worked for FedEx. Really good job. So I guess she liked me when we first met because I was a delivery guy. Funny, just like her awesome dad. And so we bonded, and I was in the Army for 6 years when I got out of college, when I got out of high school. So I always wanted a girl who had a great family, went to college with education. So what I did was I went to a college bar. I picked her up, and she said she had she was getting a college education. She was going to be smart. And she was going to take care of me and lead me in the right direction. So that's why.
All that.
Is that right?
That's a big pitch for a college bar.
Right. Uncle Earl's, shout out.
That was a bunch of shots.
That's all. But yeah, so I guess we're the first ones. My mom worked at Popeyes as a child. She worked all the time. So she instilled the work ethic. But also, as a child, we lived very poor. But she always wanted us to do better. So I guess we just wanted to get out of the...
ready to not work for the man anymore, for ourselves.
That's right.
We both have been working hard in our previous jobs.
And I was at a standstill. There was no more growth in my position. And I love to be able to expand and have no ceiling and no limits. And the ceiling was there. The limits were there. I couldn't get promoted any higher in what I was doing. So, and if I wanted to get promotions, it was going to take 30, 40 years. So we're just like, let's just see what we can do. It's been fun so far.
Yeah. You're 5 years in.
Yeah, five years in. We got five employees total.
How'd they take it? deciding to leave your stable job to go do a water, to go do your own thing? How'd your family take it?
Oh man, they might listen to this, but my family, told me I was crazy. I had a really good job. I mean, I made a very good living. I was able to take care of my wife, and we just had a baby at the time. And we had a lot going on. So my family straight up was like, you are crazy. You're risking it all. And I mean, we even thought that a lot. We really questioned ourselves towards the end. And my old company was trying to hold on to me. They were like, keep coming back. You know, we need you another week. And I kept going back. And she's like, look, you got to stop because we got our own bills forming up over here. We got our own company. We started. You have to make money for this company. So
my family's always been pretty supportive of what we wanted to do. But
and they trusted her because she trusted me. I don't know what she was thinking, but
I know he's crazy enough to make it work, right? You have to be crazy to take the jump.
Yeah, you have to, and you got to be willing to work. And she knew how much I would work. I still do it, but one day we'll be able to sit back and say it was well worth it. We go on trips a lot, and I always answer my phone. Like I said, so she's like, get off your phone. I'm like, hey, gotta do it.
You get. Sometimes work follows you. As that. I mean, you're 5 years in. I wouldn't say you're, I mean, do you still consider yourself in like a startup phase right now?
I wouldn't say startup. I mean, we keep thinking we're going to slow down and then we grow more. So every time we think we're about to take a break, it hits us hard again, which is a good thing. I mean, growth is good, but we definitely, every time we think we're on, you know, the slowdown and we could take a break, something else big happens.
I always wait for the winter and I'm like, all right, this winter, chill. You know, like it'll calm down. Man, there's so much weird stuff. Like we had the freeze of last year.
People need water.
Yeah, the freeze was crazy. No one could find water. So, I mean, I had so many phone calls. And I was able to find water. It was hard. But I was able to make a lot of phone calls and do a lot of begging. And I had to drive water to Shreveport with ice on the roads because it was a kid's hospital. And the people who call me, I take care of them on a regular basis. It's a big medical company. They sell to the hospital. So they pretty much tell me, hey, I'll pay you this much. And I'm like, oh, okay. Plus they said it's for kids. So I had to do it. So when I got to the hospital, the style of trucks we have are beverage style trucks. They're not box truck like Penske or Ryder that back up to a dock. So I got there. I got up there at like 10, 11 at night. I'm like, hey, y'all guys got a forklift? And they're like, no, ice everywhere. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally gonna have to take each case with my dolly, roll it up the ramp onto the platform of the hospital, rewrap them all to where they can roll them with pallet jacks inside the hospital. So I literally had to do 840 cases. That's what my truck held on a dolly, rolling up the ice ramp. I didn't get done until probably two in the morning. Took me about 4 hours.
Smokes.
It's hard. But that company, they gave me a hotel room that night. They said, don't stay at the Ritz-Carlton, but you can stay anywhere else.
But I mean, it just goes to show the type of dedication and effort that entrepreneurs have to put in for their businesses. They can't say, oh, we'll get somebody else to do that. I mean, it's a freeze.
Yeah, you can't ask someone to.
Like, you can't ask somebody to do something you're not willing to do as the business owner.
Yeah.
Right. We would never put one of our other guys in that situation by any means. So he was it. He had to make it happen.
I mean, one day I'll have some guys like that that I'll ask to do it. I'll pay him a bunch of money, but it was just too dangerous.
Yeah, he's almost blown up in forklift fires, lost tires on the interstate.
What?
I mean, anything. Jason has tried to kill himself multiple times.
Let's go to the forklift fire. Let's start there.
So, this is on Facebook, so it's proof. But
it's proof.
So, it's real. So we had a forklift go down at the office when we first started. We, you know, you put all these business expenses on paper, and you look at them, you're like, all right, I could do with this, and I could do with that. So I budgeted like $5,000 for a forklift. Found one for $3,000, and I thought I was a king of deals. Got it in there. Worked for about 6 months, and then the engine died. So I had a few guys come look at it, and they were like, look, it's going to cost too much. You just got to get rid of it. So I parked it on the side, was looking for another one, but we didn't have the money at the time, like, because we had so much we had to buy. Like, I can't run a water delivery business without a forklift. So one of my customers down the street, Don Solid Stone, they do construction and heavy-duty commercial, like countertops and stuff, awesome people. Blake over there, we were delivering to him, and I told him that my forklift's down, and I don't know what I'm going to do. So he literally was like, look, I have this old Nissan forklift over there. It's been parked in the corner for 2 years, but every once in a while, we use it, and it works. He said, you can have it, dude. I was amazed that someone was going to give me a forklift. He didn't know anything was wrong with it. So I used it, man, about 2 or 3 months, driving it outside, and I put up security cameras because we're not the best part of town.
Yeah, you're in South Choctaw.
Yeah, Choctaw. I've never had an issue, but I just put up cameras just in case.
It's a business. You gotta make sure.
We had one dude break in one night, but it was because I left the door unlocked. I was being a big idiot. But so I'm driving this forklift outside. I got my cameras everywhere. I hear this hissing noise underneath my seat. I get off the seat. Now, I'm about to lift it up to see what the hissing noise is, and the fire goes up. I'm 10 feet in the air. And so we went back and watched the video. You see me get off. You see me do, I go to grab it, and then you don't see me, like, at all. I was so quick to run away, but the fire, it took us a good 5 minutes to put it out. People called the fire department on us and stuff.
Holy smokes.
And that was scary. If I would have been sitting on the forklift,
you'd be done.
I don't know. I got a tough booty. I've just been child building.
It would have made for a funnier Facebook video. Shoot you 20 feet in the air.
Right.
But yeah, it was scary. And then, what else she said?
She had blown out tires.
The tire.
Oh my God. So on my second truck, I bought it. I had a hurricane. So all kind of hurricane water I was doing. And I always check my tires. I check everything on the trucks. But apparently one of my cylinders of my brake chamber went out. I didn't realize it. So it was causing the drum of the brake to compress the whole time I'm driving, which got the wheel hot. So it broke the lug nuts off. So literally one tire, I'm driving, and I see this tire just roll by the truck. And these are big tires, dude, heavy. I'm watching, I'm like, no, because I know what's about to happen. The other tire is going to blow out.
Yeah.
That's if it's on there. So I know I'm about to go down. Start slowing down gently, watching this tire, and I'm just, please, dear baby Jesus, don't hit nothing. It goes right in between several cars parked over here. Then there's this smoke and go. And all those buildings are made out of, like, trailer materials. So I'm looking at it, I'm like, if this tire hits this building, it's going to explode. And it's going to be, it's going to hurt someone. So the tire, thank God, went all the way through those into a ditch. I was able to safely pull off to the side of the road on the other blown tire. But because we were so new in business, if I would have called a mechanic out there to repair the broken lug nuts, to change the brake cylinder on side of the road. I mean, there was a lot of work that needed to be done. So I was down there like 3 days straight, just changing everything. And she had to watch the kids, but I got it done. I made it home eventually.
So did you have like any mechanical experience or
So I was anything? In the Army for 6 years.
Okay. Thank you for your service, by the way.
I was doing my job, but it was fun. It was a good time. I learned a lot in the military. And one of those things was we used to have to do maintenance on our Humvees. Mm-hmm. So I did learn a little bit. I didn't turn too many wrenches, but part of going into business is just raising your hand and saying, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. And I did a lot of YouTubing on side of the road. I realized that if you heat up with a propane cylinder, little tank, mm-hmm. heat up those lug nuts, you can bang them right on out. But I banged for a good hour or two before I realized that I should YouTube.
Yeah.
So now every single thing we do at work.
Start
with the YouTube. And you can learn. You can do anything with YouTube.
So what also works is a C-clamp and a socket. Because then I could press it all the way back out.
It was very, very tight in there. I mean, extremely.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you don't have the space for it.
Yeah, it was.
I've had that happen to me with my. I had a truck that was an 8-lug truck, mm-hmm. and I was driving down the interstate coming up from Grand Isle, going over a bridge, and I started feeling a vibration. And I'm like, this doesn't feel good. Like, it doesn't feel right. Pulled over, and I step out, and I see lug nuts in the grass.
Oh, no.
I'm like, what has happened? I had 6 lug nuts shear off.
Wow, yeah, that's what happened with me. They sheared, everything sheared off.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and I know it was because of the brake chamber failure, but so now, I mean, we hardcore check our tires and brakes. I mean, you're supposed to anyway.
Right.
Now, especially. I mean, because it could have hurt me or someone. It could have been very bad. So I'm just thankful I didn't hurt anyone that day.
I mean, and that's part of being the business owner. You got to figure out all the different hats you got to wear. And truck maintenance is probably not the first thing you think about when you say we're going to start a water company.
No, I mean, I drove water trucks for 12 years prior. And I mean, I've never had a tire fly off. So I didn't think that was one of those things that would just happen. And there's a lot of things, a lot of learning I had to do. A lot of not things I didn't have to do before that we have to do now, but it's fun. It's part of the game.
Yeah. Those things beforehand where it's like, oh, corporate will handle it, or oh, right. The company will handle it. I don't have to worry about this. Now it's, oh, no, we are the corporate. Yeah, we are the company.
I didn't know that turbos on 6.7 liter Cummins normally go out at 250,000 miles on the dot. But now when I'm looking for trucks, I'm like, okay, let me look at the history, the maintenance. When was that turbo change last? Yes, it was only 10,000 miles. I'm buying that one. Just little things. And turbos are expensive.
Yes.
We had one go out on us 1 year in business, and it almost sidelined us. Is that $6,700? Somewhere around there? It's a lot of money for a small business. So it's one of the things, if you don't have the capital, you could fail quick.
Especially when you're working with heavy machinery that all the parts are super expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, and you need them for the type of business that you're in. You need the big trucks. You need the forklifts. You need the wrapping stations or whatever else that you use, that if it goes out, I mean, you got to figure out another way.
Yeah. Expenses can add up really quick. And thank God she didn't know all of those expenses before we started. I was just like, yeah, it'll work. It'll last forever. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, not the case.
So was there a point in time where you were like, I don't think we can do this anymore?
Yeah. Probably every other week. I mean, when you get into, I mean, it's one thing starting a business, then you go in with your spouse and that adds a whole new ball game, you know? So we definitely have our highs and lows. Anytime something breaks, you're like, oh God, here we go again. Or Jason's not going to be home again. He's going to be working on the truck all night.
And she's like, you have to email me if it's work. You could text me if it's personal.
You have to learn to separate your personal life and your business life. It becomes a dire need of what's what.
Yeah.
And then she tries to tell me when I come home to not. We could talk a little bit about work, but we got to cut it off. And right. We got to get back to the real us, the real reason we fell in love and we're still in love today.
Is not True Blue Water.
That's right.
I don't think so.
So how has that dynamic been? I mean, I know for entrepreneurs, we have a hard time of shutting that light off, shutting that switch off of, no, I'm not working. No, I'm not taking any more calls. Even though somebody picked up a bottle of water at 9 and they want to order some cases. What is that dynamic like, heightened since it's a husband-wife duo running the business?
I'm very fortunate that she is forgiving, because she knows I'm an addict to work. So she, thank God, understands how crazy I am about making the company successful.
But we have to, I mean, we have to set guidelines, though. You know, someone calls you at 9 o'clock, there's nothing, we can't get them water right now. You know, they can come back. We'll deal with them in the morning, leave a voicemail, you know.
She has been telling me longer lead times on stuff.
You know, take a second. It's okay, we're home with our family. This person will be there in the morning, and you could pick up the phone at 5 a.m. and when he gets to work and deal with it then. So we're learning to set boundaries on when to take the call, when not to. you know, prioritize our family.
And I used to have a personal phone when we first started, but all the spam calls. So I literally can't have two numbers because I answer the phone for work. I love talking to my friends sometimes, but I can't. All the calls from spam was just driving me crazy. So I literally had to cut off my personal phone. Still sad about that, but I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Wish they'd stop that. You getting them spams?
Oh, my gosh. All the time.
Yeah, they're getting worse and worse, I feel like. I mean, multiple per day.
If I'm bored, I have fun with them. And I'm not bored often, but I wear the Bluetooth pieces in my ear.
You're just driving. You're such like, no one's going on the radio. Let's have a conversation.
Oh, yeah. About my extended car warranty. They always ask me what I drive, and I tell them, 2006 International 4300 water truck. And they're like, what, do you have any other vehicles? I'm like, yeah, I have a 2010 Freightliner M2 business class 106. How about any other vehicles? And I tell them the other water truck. They're like, okay, goodbye.
I would think at a point they would start like kicking you off the list.
I mean, I would think, but I guess they really enjoy hearing my voice.
I guess so. You just have that comfort about your voice. And maybe they're going to think you're going to buy maybe a personal car and they can call you and get you on that.
Maybe.
One day.
I did take a picture with one of our new customers. They have a G-Wagon. You know what G-Wagon is?
Oh, I saw the picture.
Oh, you saw it. Okay. That was nice, huh?
I thought that was a great, nice looking water truck.
I know. All my friends were liking it and loving it. I said, y'all don't know me.
He will never have anything that nice.
Can't have anything nice.
I mean, look, it's over 6,000 pounds. You can fully depreciate it, you know? Looking from a financial standpoint, wrap that in true blue. Right.
There you go. Oh.
Maybe that'll be my vehicle. We'll keep him in his old truck.
you make like the personal deliveries to people's homes and they see
right.
that.
Oh, there
you
man. Go.
Well, yeah, some people were commenting. They were like, man, you're really doing it.
Yeah, congratulations.
You've made it. You're delivering water in a G-Wagon.
God bless their souls and hearts. It's just not possible to drive a G-Wagon and deliver water.
So you said that y'all use beverage-style trucks over the Penske box trucks. What went into that decision?
So those style trucks are very versatile. So you can fit a whole pallet of bottled water, which is 84 cases, easily from the side. Now, it'd be nice if you could load them all, back them up to my dock, and just drive the forklift in. But when you're driving them into a box truck style like that, you have to strap them up really good to the sides. And even so, they can shift big time. And when you're on the interstate, especially in our crazy traffic. So the beverage style trucks have the sides, so they support my water. And you could also put your 5 gallons in easily, your water coolers. You have 8 or 10 different sections where you can section cool stuff off. If you have just a big box truck, you just got all kind of stuff just floating around in there. I mean, it would work, I guess, but we're going to get a box truck really soon, specifically for pallet deliveries, for bulk deliveries, though, okay. Not just for onesies and twosies. We supply about 5 supply companies across the greater Baton Rouge area, and they'll typically order 8 to 10 pallets. So that's what we're going to do with that. It'd be a little bit easier, kind of, sort of.
Well, you got to make sure wherever you're going's got a forklift or a pallet jack or something like that to make it worthwhile.
Correct, because you don't want to use the lift gate on the back. I don't know if you've ever YouTube lift gate fails.
I've not Googled lift gate fails, although I've seen some people fall off.
It's
in
terrible.
Like single, where like the lift gate would just instantly fail, and they just like a springboard.
Yeah, or what they'll do is they'll go too far with the pallet jack.
Oh, I've seen
and the
that.
Pallet will pull them off, and you fly. So we are literally never going to use the lift gate unless it's like a few, you know, a few cases. So that's going to be off limits to everyone. Dangerous.
I see you in like a safety video about lift gates, wearing like a true blue outfit with a cape on the back, emphasizing the importance of not going too far. I mean, set up like, you know, some cushions on the other side.
So
you have a swimming pool. You have a safe landing.
Okay. All right. I hope my insurance guy. I hope my insurance guy isn't watching this. He's gonna cut.
I mean, obviously it'd be a stunt double. You know, wink, wink.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Idea.
No, we're not doing that. No, it's spinning.
mean, I've been wanting to create commercials, so that would be good. Just every time I think about creating a commercial, we get more customers, and we're just such a small company that I have to do a lot of it myself, so I can't use my brain power as much as I want to, which might be good.
Yeah, it's for the best.
You might come up with ideas like this.
Right, exactly.
So how do you conservatively grow? I mean, because that's kind of what's happened. It's like a safe growth. It's not an over explosion expansion. How do you actually safely grow with what you're all doing with TrueBlue?
So we actually don't do much advertising at all, which seems to help. We just let the calls come to us, and that way we kind of can control it better.
And we do a lot of networking through giving back to the community. We're a big part of the Ascension Chamber of Commerce. We're also a member of BRAC. We haven't been able to go to many BRAC events. They're so big. And we, Ascension Chamber, like, you just feel welcome. It's smaller. And we live in Ascension as well. So recently I did the Dancing for a Cause for the Arc of East Ascension. And that was a really fun event. I was able to get our current customers to buy tables and contribute to the event to sponsor it. But I got to get up on stage and dance. So I made it my best point to be known as the water boy and Jason with True Blue Water by putting on one heck of a performance, at least I think.
You did a great job.
Is it on YouTube somewhere?
No, it's on his Facebook, though.
Oh, we can find it.
We got to put it on YouTube.
We can find it. Yeah. We'll get our team on it. We'll make this resurface.
I danced with Miss Chris Cangelosi with the Cangelosi Dance Project, and it was awesome. We did two lessons a week, about 30 minutes. I can't focus more than 30 minutes at one time. So I did twice a week, 30 minutes, for about 8 or 9 weeks. So it was quite a task to learn our vicious moves. But she did allow me points in the dance to do some of my favorite moves, like the behind the back, pull the leg. I don't know what you call that, like a stinky leg kind of. What would you call that?
Yeah, like the hopping around, one arm on behind the head. Yeah.
I was able to do the worm.
Okay.
And I was able to do the backward running man. So she let me do a few of my patented dance moves, but the main thing was we raised over $8,000 for that organization. And we do a lot of 5Ks. We try to give back as much as we can. Instead of advertising, we try to give back as much as we can because it benefits them and us, kind of, sort of.
Right.
So it's a win-win for everybody.
Right. The bottle will typically sell itself if we can get it into somebody's hands. You know, then they like it, and they like that we're out there and we're local and we're giving back to the community. So that helps.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was about to move to. Next is the co-branded bottles. How did y'all end up getting into that space?
So I guess people just started calling. They said, hey, can you put my brand on bottled water? And we had a few phone calls, and at first we didn't do it. So I guess third or fourth phone call, I was like, hey, maybe we need to look into doing this. So we found the company to do it, and we were able to work up a fair price for them and for us. And the only thing we need from the customer is basically their imagery. They send us their imagery. We get it proofed for them. They get two or three chances to get it perfect. Once they approve it, it's about a 4 to 5 week process of getting the actual physical bottled water with your name on it. So it I think it's super cool for contractors, banks, financial institutions, maybe Horizon Financial, which is a great sponsor of the show.
Yeah, maybe Mercedes-Benz.
Right, Mercedes-Benz. Yeah. Jay Ducote with Government Taco.
Yeah.
Falaya.
Yeah, absolutely.
A real estate. So, I mean,
bottle of water at closings.
Right.
I mean, we actually can work all those guys out at a phenomenal price if they contact us, because we do appreciate the opportunity to be on the show.
Yeah.
And I just enjoy it. Also, we kind of put our name on the bottle just a little bit right there.
Okay.
So it helps us just a tad.
Yeah, I mean, you get your brand out there.
If they give this bottle to someone and they see our little brand right there, they say, oh, TrueBlue did this. That's pretty cool. Let me give them a holla. So that's a little benefit for us as well.
I mean, it makes sense, and it also gets people a feel of a good way to remind people of what they're drinking is going to be something that's local. You know? Yeah.
Exactly.
So y'all bottle your bottles out in Jasper.
Correct.
But your 5-gallon jugs are here in Louisiana, right?
Correct.
That's right. They're bottled by a company that's based out of Lafayette, but their bottling facility is in Kentwood. They are Clear Springs, and they do a really good job. So some of the bigger organizations, they have nothing but these large machines that do it. And they'll take their big arms and they'll pull all the empties out. They'll put them down on a belt. They'll run. Then the other machine will pick these bottles up full, super heavy, and then put them back in the racks. And these things weigh about 43 pounds. It's really cool and all, but when technology like that breaks, it's hard to get parts. So I heard, I shouldn't say that. If they were to have a mistake and something were to break, it would be really, really hard to get your product bottled because they don't have any backup plans. With us, there's still humans involved. So they put the empty bottle on the rack themselves. It goes around. It's all bottled by a machine. It's all enclosed, encapsulated system. So it's super clean. And then it comes back out the belt and the human takes it and puts it back into the rack. So there's still some human touch to it. And they can produce, I think they said we could produce 10,000 bottles a day, 5 gallons.
It's a lot of water.
It's a lot of water. And we, right now, I guess we're using about 1,500 a week, 5 gallons approximately. So we're their big, I'm pretty confident we're the biggest customer, but we want to remain that. We want to keep growing, and they're going to grow with us as well. They're growing in the Lafayette market. So it would have been cool to all be one, but.
So they just don't do bottled water at all?
They do bottled water, and they do 5 gallons. So they're like just like us.
Okay.
Except in the Lafayette market. And they're cool. They stay on their ground, and I stay on my ground. And we communicate, and we're cool with each other. Y'all send me leads, and I send them leads, because we're all about helping each other. And there's a guy in Donald Seville as well, and we help each other too, American Spring Water. He's a nice guy.
That's very cool. So how did y'all come up with True Blue Water as the name? What went into that?
We were just throwing stuff up at a wall.
Pretty much.
I think someone said True Blue Water and
just stuck.
So we went to 99designs.com and we just put in.
They created our logo for us. It's like different artists.
They compete.
Buying for your business, and they create logos and they send them out, and we picked which one we thought was the best and slapped it on a bottle.
So is it, I guess it's kind of like a Fiverr website where it's like independent contractors trying to get work, but this looks more like a bidding process, I guess, whereas Fiverr, you select the independent contractor.
Yeah, we paid a certain amount of money. It was like $300, and then they just throw us some images, and you get to select which ones you like the most, and then they narrow it down, and then they throw you another image, and it's like a few-day process. Guess guys and girls do it on their part-time, maybe they work for a great company and they just want to do it part-time, I guess. But we were very happy with our product and slapped it on all of our products pretty quick.
Right.
I mean, that's getting that first step done, right, is getting a logo in place that you're confident with, you can get behind, and you start putting that name to face almost.
Right. We questioned if we should do something that looks more local, but then we decided, you never know how far you're going to grow. So we like the idea of having something just that could go anywhere.
And they put the American thing on there, United States. So, you never know. So it's kind of weird because we do some business in California, kind of, sort of. But
right. We didn't want to limit ourselves to just
kind of, sort of do business in California. You either do business or you don't.
Well, I mean, we do business. We broker deals for people. So supply companies will call us and they'll say, hey, we need water. We heard about you because you supply this supply company in Louisiana. We're their sister. We're them, but we're in California. Can you help us out? We hear you're really good at managing loads and shipments. So we were on the beach on a weekend. This is one of them calls you get. She's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, I'm trying to set up a deal. So I told a lady, I said, look, tell me where you need all the water to go. So she told me it was like 4 cities. She told me those 4 cities, and I started doing a bunch of Googling, finding out where I could find people to bottle in those cities, and I found 3 different bottling companies, pretty close facility. I was already doing business with that giant producer of water. So I sent two or three emails. Hey guys, I'm expanding to this area, my business. I need to ship water to these locations. Is that okay? They emailed me back 5 or 10 minutes and said, no problem. Just put in your orders to pick up at this plant. And so I was already working with brokers to ship water to me here in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I could ship water anywhere. I just didn't know the prices. So I picked up the phone, made a few phone calls, found out my prices, approximate value for each location, put together the math, and I said, man, that's pretty cool. So now I ship 1, 2, 3 trucks a week sometimes to California, and I just broker the deals. I got lucky.
Well, I think that is an element of being a smaller business that people may not think about.
You got to be open.
You got to be open to that. They think, oh, we're in Louisiana, we're in South Louisiana, Ascension Parish, wherever. We're limited to the trucks that we have here. How in the world can we spare the time of somebody driving from here to California? Yeah. How can we keep the water good and from here to there? What is all that going to be about? Where you're like, how can we get our brand with existing people over there to run and do the deliveries and package it all for us, but we're still able to get our brand out there and manage it as we do here?
Yeah, so it's kind of complex, but basically I just buy water and resell it. It's not True Blue, but
I mean, well, that's what we got in the business for. We buy water and we resell it.
Yeah, we just resellers, distribution, and I like challenges. So it sounded like a challenge, and so we did it. We did a bunch in Texas, and then we actually started working with some of these companies that come in for disaster relief, and I built up the network to where I call them before hurricane season. I'm like, hey, I'm ready, guys. Y'all give me a call if you need something. And so they just reached out to me, and they wanted me to ship water to them in North Carolina and Florida. So we're still talking about it. But it was pretty cool, you know, make all these connections just from picking up the phone every time it rings. And sometimes it stinks, but you never know what it's going to lead to. And we were on the beach, and it was a California number. And I said, hey, let me just answer this and see what it's about. And
if it's spam, you'll be over real quick.
Yeah. But to this day, that's one of our best accounts. And it's all basically using the computer. That's pretty much it. Just a few emails and a few clicks.
Yeah.
I thought I was getting into the business just to deliver water straight up, but I'm actually using my brain a lot more than I thought.
I mean, that's that beautiful part of the business where that growth is. It's beyond just sitting behind the wheel and talking to solicitors about your extended warranty all day.
That's funny. I didn't say that on air, did I? I did, huh?
You did.
Oh, shoot. Okay. I love that stuff. It's so much fun.
Look, they call you. They're setting themselves up for that.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Especially me. That should be there.
They're either going to be hung up on or somebody's going to say something. They're either, one of us. I hang up. He has to create a joke along the way.
Why not? Have fun with it. You know.
That's right. That's right.
So as we start to wrap up the show, we have a set list of questions we like to ask everybody. The first one is, what is something you did as a kid you wished you could still do today?
Come on, Jesus. Oh, well, yeah, I know. So when I was in, this is kind of sort of kid. I think I was like, is 14 kid?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So we used to go and we would go swim. We'd go to football practice in the morning and we'd sweat. It was called two-a-days. Sweat. Then we go swimming all day across this giant body of water called the Bayou Teche. So we'd swim about a half mile there, about a half mile back. Then we'd sit there and eat all the Little Debbies we wanted, and we'd drink all the Coke we wanted. Then we'd go to two-a-day practice in the afternoon, and we just died. But to me, it was so much fun because at that point in my life, I could eat as much as I wanted. You couldn't dog me down because I had so much energy. And to this day, I'm like, man, wish I could be that kid again. Like just with the infinite energy. I still have a lot of energy, but that kid was ruthless.
Definitely. I mean, that's a good one to be able to eat whatever you want, right? I mean, gosh, you get old and you're like, oh, I can't eat today.
Oh, I looked at that. That's 5 pounds.
Yeah, right. Staring at it. But I mean, I remember as a kid, we used to go to the mall and then we'd go over, walk over to the movies. And now I would say I can't even fathom sending my kids to the mall and to the movies on their own, you know, at 10 years old. Like, it's such a different world. You have to, we rein them in tight and, you know, eyes on them at all times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're overlords watching them. You got any yet?
I have one. He's 8 months.
Oh, baby.
Just awesome. A little baby.
Yeah. Crawling?
Starting to. Oh. They call him, he's doing like the inchworm. He like hunches up and spreads out, hunch up, spread out. So he's getting there.
That's awesome.
I know whenever he gets it, he's going to be just.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Enjoy while he's
everywhere.
Not moving.
Baby proofed yet?
Enough.
Okay. Yeah. Second one, we didn't baby proof at all. First one, we're like, everything. The second one, just didn't get it in nothing. Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take it as it comes.
Oh, yeah. So y'all have both worked for the man, I guess, and now y'all run your own business. What are three lessons y'all have learned along the way?
I would say one of them is prepare for the unexpected.
What I have learned? I've learned a lot.
Oh, my God. I could list like a thousand things.
I guess as an accountant, I always tell Jason it's fairly simple. You don't spend more than you have, so that's kind of what we've taken, and we continue to run with that. You know, if we don't have it, we're not spending it. And we do that with our business too. Obviously, we're not going to grow if we can't handle it. So,
and I would say that the old myth of slow and steady wins the race is probably good.
Oh yeah,
that's a very good one.
Yeah,
I'd say with any business, you have to realize that you got a while. If you just going and going and going, it's going to catch up with you. I mean, I plan on doing this for a long time. And I mean, we could do things a lot faster, but I don't want to drop too many. I don't want to mess up.
Yeah, right. You want to have that quality within your growth that correct. You don't lose it the more customers you get on.
Right, exactly. So it helps to do it a little slower.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So what is something y'all love about Louisiana?
I love so much about it. I mean, the food is phenomenal. The people are so sweet and so nice. We've been to a lot of places, but Louisiana people are just so great.
Oh yeah, the Southern hospitality is awesome. We're going out on the boat this weekend. I mean, just stuff, you know, getting out. It's going to be hot, of course, in Louisiana. That's the negative, but you know, to get out on the water and enjoy it. It's great about being in Louisiana.
People here are pretty easy to communicate. When we first got into business, we were a little nervous about going to social events. But the more we went, we realized that a lot of people, if you just talk to them, they are very easy and approachable. It's just, we didn't know that at first. But I love the Louisiana business community. We won the Central Chamber of Commerce Small Business of the Year for 2020. And Billy Nungesser wrote us a handwritten note. And I just thought that was so sweet. A few people wrote us handwritten notes. That's so cool. I don't know if they do that anywhere else.
Yeah.
But seems like a lot of people in these times are criticizing a lot of stuff. But I will say in Louisiana, it seems like we are trying to grow the best we can right now. And it's hard. I think we're doing a darn good job with it.
Absolutely. So what is something I can do to help y'all?
And help get the brand out for sure.
Give a shout out to old Todd. We don't need Snoop Dogg. I love what Todd Grace is doing with his funny marketing. Like, that's so cool to me. And his story was pretty cool. But I'm glad that you got them guys. And I think if we do the right thing and we just keep growing smart. We do the right thing. We try to treat all of our customers like we would like to be treated. We show concern if we do mess up. We answer the phone if they really need something. Then I think the sky's the limit. I really think we're just going to keep growing. So just do the right thing. It's going to happen.
You got it. So how can people find you? What's the easiest way to get a hold of y'all?
TrueBlueWater.com. That's TrueBlueWater.com. Or you can call me at 225-313-1299. You could also look us up on Facebook. We're on Instagram. And I also have a TikTok. You might know. The TikTok's pretty good. At Running Water Boy.
At Running Water Boy?
Yeah, just do some dancing and...
Oh, I haven't seen this yet.
Forklift spins, just fun stuff.
I've got to go find his TikTok account now. Okay, I'm going to be all over your TikTok after the show. Well, thank you all so very much for coming in, sitting down. I know this was out of your comfort zone
definitely.
Bit, but you did fantastic. So thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate y'all's time and for coming and sharing your story about True Blue Water. Guys and gals, if y'all are interested in learning more, they're going to be linked up in the show notes to their website. Give Jason a call. He's your water boy. He's going to take care of you. So thank you all so very much for tuning in, whether you are listening or watching us, whatever platform you're consuming the show on. I really appreciate it. I know the guests do as well. We come to you each and every week to share local entrepreneurs and their stories. And we do all of this through the amazing sponsors, where we're going to hear a little bit more about them right now. Thank you so very much to Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, the latest Patty G Show sponsor. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers is serving up hand-battered, cook-to-order chicken fingers, crispy, crinkle-cut fries, buttery Texas toast, fresh coleslaw, and mouth-watering cane sauce. So y'all stop by for meetups and wind-downs, lunch breaks and dinner fixes, pre-games and after-parties, or whenever your chicken finger cravings hit. I know my chicken finger cravings are hitting right now. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love. Thank you all so very much for listening to this episode of The Patty G Show, brought to you by Government Taco. They're located on the corner of Government Street and Jefferson Highway. Jay is always slinging up a new taco of the month, so if you're a frequenter to Government Taco, let us know in the comments what you thought about this month's taco of the month. If you're not a frequenter, maybe trying out this month's taco might just convert you. Big thanks over to them at Government Taco for making The Patty G Show possible. Thank you so very much to our sponsor, Falaya Real Estate. They are the all-in-one real estate platform for you, whether you're buying or selling. They've got options starting out at $399 to sell your home. The average lister saves anywhere from $7,800 on their closing of their home. It's really incredible what they're doing with it. Barrett is amazing at Falaya. Jacob, they're going to help you through the entire process from start to finish and really treat you like family.
At Horizon Financial Group, we enjoy helping others achieve greater confidence, clarity, and direction in their lives. We realize everyone's path to financial success is unique. Sometimes you just need a friendly guide along the way. Whether it's customized financial planning, individual wealth management, or servicing your company's retirement plan, we've got the team with the experience to help you reach your goals. Horizon Financial Group, helping you provide, protect, and prosper for those counting on you. Visit us at horizonfg.com. Cetera Advisors LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Cetera is a separate entity.
Thank you to Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge for making this show possible. Nick Pintus is a past guest. We love having him on. Listening to him talk about the culture they have over at Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge is really an incredible thing to hear. How they treat not only their employees, but every customer that walks through the door. You are more than just a number to them. They're going to give you that white glove concierge service every step of the way. They're going to make you feel like family and take what can be a stressful time in people's life, shopping for a car. They're going to make it so enjoyable and so pleasurable. You're going to want to go back there time and time again for every new vehicle. Thank you so very much for Mercedes-Benz of making this show possible. Thank you so very much to Mallard Bay Outdoors, the Airbnb for the outdoor sportsman. If you're looking to book a hunt or a fishing trip, this is the platform to use. They were a past guest of the Patty G Show. We got to learn all about what they're doing from the ground up. They are really revolutionizing the booking process for hunts and fish all across the country. For your next hunting or fishing experience, or maybe your corporate retreat, you're looking for something to do for your employees, book a hunt or a fishing trip with Mallard Bay Outdoors, and they will take care of you every step of the way, from organizing it with the guides and the captains to making sure you can take care of them at the end of the trip. Mallard Bay Outdoors, a proud sponsor of the Patty G Show.